God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Well, good afternoon, family and friends, and it's great to be with you all. And it's great to... One moment. See you all. We do count it a real privilege to be able to come up here and spend time with you and to sow the incorruptible seed of God's word into your lives, because we know it's going to produce kingdom fruit. And kingdom fruit is what impacts people. It's not how clever we are or how much we know. But we know that Jesus said that we'll be known by our fruit. That's right. We're supposed to be fruit bearers. And so I'm expecting a lot of fruit to just come out of the trees after this, the trees, namely you. But we also bring greetings from our personal family. There's 18 in our personal family. I've got a picture of them on this thing, and it'll just pop up a little bit later on, okay. So we've got three boys and a girl, four kids, and 8 grandkids. And, yeah, they're the best. What can I say? But it really is good to be with you all this afternoon. And in the short time that we have together, I hope we'll be able to just make some kind of connection that's going to last for all eternity. Once it's more family, ne? So this is as good a time as any to get to know each other, seeing as we're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever together one day. Now, the topic that I've been given was, how do I know if this is the right one? And so I've said, is this the one? Well, how do we know? Until you've lived with someone, how do we know? Is it because our heart beats faster and we get that, ooh, in the tummy and our eyes start shining and people just seem nicer and the world seems a better place to be in? Well, I know some guys who feel that way with a new car or a new set of golf clubs. Don't laugh so quickly, girls. I know some girls who feel that way with a new pair of shoes. And that is important. We need to feel that kind of stuff going on, because we know then there's been a connection. But is it infatuation or is it really love? Well, somebody said, infatuation is when you think he's as gorgeous as that Brad Pitt, as pure as Mother Teresa, as funny as Leon Schuster, as athletic as John Smith, and as clever as Albert Einstein. But love is when you realize he's as gorgeous as Leon Schuster, as funny as Mother Teresa, as athletic as Albert Einstein, and nothing at all like Brad Pitt in any category, but you'll take him anyhow. How about this one? I read this one this week. Can I tell you another one? I'm going to anyway. Listen, I've got 4 kids, 8 grandkids. When I want to say something, I say it. Dear John, I've been unable to sleep since I broke off our engagement. Won't you forgive and forget? Please, please. Your absence is breaking my heart. I was a fool. Nobody could take your place. I love you, all my love, Belinda. P.S. Congratulations on winning the lottery, sport. But jokes aside, family. You know, true love is what stands the test of time and challenges. True love remains love when you go through storms together, through challenges together, and through different seasons of your life, and when you're just totally different, but you make it anyhow. Someone said, love is true when you don't see eye to eye, but can still walk hand in hand. My husband and I haven't always seen eye to eye. We still don't see eye to eye in everything, because he's an individual. And he's different to me, and I'm an individual, and we haven't lost our individuality, but we still walk hand in hand, even in the mall. But love creates an us without destroying the me. And that's very important. Father God, as we come together now around your word, I just pray that the awesomeness of your word, Lord, finds a dwelling place in each one of our hearts, in ours again also, Lord, so that at all times we're so conscious of building our lives around you and not waiting for whatever it is that we wait for sometimes, Lord, to happen so that the world becomes different around us. But we want to make our patch of world different because it revolves around you. So we open our hearts to your word this afternoon, and we thank you that you and your word are one. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you know it's in the Father's heart for each one of us, of his kids. We're asking you to minister the Father's heart to us in Jesus' name. The first thing I want to say is I do hope that we all acknowledge and realize that we have the responsibility of becoming the right one while we're looking for that right one, that special one in our lives. I mean, even Hollywood's worked that one out. My husband and I were looking at a movie a little while ago. I can't even remember the movie. Actually, it was quite an irritating movie. Most probably that's why. I don't remember the name. But this bloke spent the whole movie looking for the one. And he became an absolute wreck. And his friend, his flatmate one day said to him, he said, look at you, you're a mess. He said, why don't you get yourself together, man? Just pull yourself together. Sort yourself out first so when the right one comes along, at least you'll find you attractive. And isn't that so true? And so I said to my husband, well, someone in Hollywood's reading their Bible. But, you know, God made us and created us with an inherent desire for intimacy. God made us with that thing inside of us that desires community. Because when God made us, he made us to be loved and to love. He made us for himself. God doesn't call us into his factory. He calls us into his family. He doesn't draw us to his workshop. He draws us into that special place in his heart that he has for us. And so we get that from God. Even kids at nursery school. I watch my grandkids. And sometimes they're so ongeklap because they haven't got that special friend was talking to somebody else or wasn't playing with them. And it's so cute to see. They all find that special someone along the line. Whether it's another little girl or another little boy that they can just share their psalmies with or sit together, or that's their special friend. God made us that way. But the one thing that we have to be careful of as we go after that special one is we have to be aware of two essentials. And the first is that when that one on earth, or the one on earth, becomes more important than the one in heaven, we're in deep weeds. We can't allow that to happen. Jesus said when they asked him what the greatest commandments were, he said, love the Lord thy God, all your strength, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, with everything that's within you. And the reason we get into trouble when we turn that thing around or we allow somebody else to usurp God's place, that special place that's reserved for him in our heart, is because we allow somebody else on the throne. Now, it's not him we love above everything else. It's that one that we're after, that one that we've consumed. We're distracted, we're fragmented, because the focus is off him, and it's on seeking that special one in our lives. And you know, Jesus being the Prince of Peace, the moment we dethrone him, our peace is interrupted, isn't that so? And when peace is interrupted, our fellowship with God is interrupted. And when fellowship with God is interrupted, holiness is interrupted. Because now we're allowing something else to manipulate our lives. Something else to dictate whether we're happy, whether we're unhappy, whether we're going to be nice to people or not. And so that's something that we really need to be aware of. our priorities. And God wants us to have a special one. There's no doubt about that. But if self isn't sorted first, if I have an established self, if self isn't settled, no one will ever be the right one. Because when you're all upside down on the inside, when you're not settled on the inside, nobody else quite measures up. You're looking through funny colored glasses. You'll always find that thing that's not quite right with somebody else. Because you're not happy with yourself. And so we see the fault in others much more quickly. Do you know that God wants you? See, who's single here? Who's single? Okay. God wants you to meet and marry the right one more than you do. Do you know that he tells us in his word that marriage is his picture of Christ and the church? How would you like it if you painted a masterpiece and somebody messed it up? God has copyright on marriage. You understand what copyright is? You invent something, you've got copyright on it. And the world's in a muddle these days. Do you know what happens when you infringe on copyright? You get into a whole lot of trouble. You can even go to jail. You do realize that, don't you? Okay. Well, marriage is God's idea. And so when we mess around with it, and we don't treat it like God says we must treat it, we're infringing on copyright, and we get into trouble. And we get into trouble, and then we're looking to God to please help us get out of all this trouble that we're in. But actually, it's because we've infringed on his copyright. And he's not pleased with that. And so God wants you to meet and marry the right one, because then you'll present a picture of Christ and his church in an accurate way. Now, we might not know who the right one is, but there's somebody who does, and that's God. He knows who the right one is. And he knows the exact right time for you to meet that individual and for you to get married. And we need to rest in that. That's where the contentment comes in. We'll see a little bit more about practical stuff in a little while. But let's have a look at some scriptures here. Psalm 139, verse 16. This is from the NIV Bible. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All my days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has a plan for your life. He's got an awesome plan. All he wants is for us to come close to his heart so that he can work out his plan for our lives. Prophet Jeremiah, he has this to say from the Lord to us about himself. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Before he was born. You know, sometimes some people think that possibly God made a mistake. I mean, a woman in the ministry, heading up a ministry. Oh, it's all right to be a CEO out there in the world and do that kind of thing. But in the ministry? And I said, do you really think that God waited until I came along and said, oops, we didn't realize it would be a girl. And we had this whole plan worked out. What are we going to do now? God doesn't have oops moments. He knows who you are, where you are, what age you are, and who the right one for you is. But what he's looking for most of all from you and I is that we're after his heart, not after the right one, not after anything else, but after his heart. When we're after his heart, he'll see that everything fits into his perfect time for our lives. We find that perfect one that he has for us. When you do find the perfect one, it doesn't mean that life is going to be without challenges, storms, and conflict. Otherwise, how do we get sharpened? God's priority for you and I is that we conform to the image of Jesus. How does that happen? Usually by somebody else being conformed to the image of Jesus while we're living together. And it becomes like sandpaper, you know. And every time we get rubbed up the wrong way, God says, no, that's a wrong way. Shouldn't get rubbed up that way. That's the wrong way. We start allowing all those things for God to work in so that we become conformed. We become more and more like Christ. So God knows who you are and the age you are. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. In Revelation 13:8, we read, the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Do you really think that God didn't know that Adam would do what Adam did? That came out right, didn't it? Because Adam did do what he shouldn't have done. And God knew that he was going to do it before he'd done it, did it. God knew and he had a backup plan. Nothing takes God by surprise. God has an awesome plan for each one of you. It's already in place. But he wants you to seek him, first of all, with all your heart. Then he has every good thing in store for you. Our problem is that our lives sometimes look like that. Like that. Can you see what that is? Oh, it's beautiful on my computer. You should see it on my computer. It's actually a cupboard in chaos. It's a cupboard that's all... there we are. You can see what it is now. Thank you, Lord. I didn't even see that happen. But anyway. Do you know, sometimes our inner world looks like that cupboard. It is just so confused on the inside. It's just chaos. You open a cupboard like that, you don't know where to start looking for the item that you wanted. And sometimes the inside of us is like that, through whatever's happened in our lives in the past. And so the first thing we need to do, oh, I found this. So I thought I'd just stick it in there. Remind me about what I was going to say, okay? I saw this, and you know, I've spoke to a doctor friend of mine, and I said, what does the stethoscope do? He said, it's a conductor, and it's got a membrane on the inside. And when the doctor puts that in, any doctors here? Oh, good, I could say anything then. Okay, when he puts that thing in his ears, it shuts out all the other sounds. In other words, it shuts out clutter so that he can hear what he really needs to hear. But sometimes our inner world looks like that cupboard. And so we can't really hear what God's saying. Saying, Lord, please show me. Lord, please answer me. We're going to get the cupboard sorted out a little bit first this afternoon so that we can hear God. Because you're not going to hear him with a cupboard that looked like the cupboard that you saw before you saw this. Okay. So, one easy step in sorting out the cupboard. And it's this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. The Apostle Paul tells us how to do it. You can't change history, family. History's history. History is something that is gone. It's in the past. Now what we must do is stop dragging it into the future with us. Leave it where it belongs. Leave it in the past. The Apostle Paul says this, and I'm reading from the New King James, and I'm starting from verse 12. He says, I haven't already attained or am already perfected. He says, I haven't arrived yet. I'm not the person that I should ideally be yet. He says, but I'm pressing on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He says, God has something in mind for me. He's got a specific purpose in mind for me. Now, I haven't got there yet fully. I haven't attained it all. I'm not perfect. But what I am doing is pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. God has a special purpose for your life. He wants to take hold of you in such a way that his grace and his investment in you can be released through your life. And that's the thing that we're pressing towards, not finding that special one. God will bring that special one into your life as you take this advice. And Paul's not talking about walking a kind of spiritual tightrope here, never making a mistake. But what he is saying is, let's have a mature attitude. Let's not focus on the mistakes. But as we're in the process of becoming all that we need to become, we don't get discouraged. We keep putting our trust, our faith in the blood of Jesus, in what Jesus did for us. And we just keep on moving on, pressing towards the mark. Now, here's the thing. If we want what God wants for us, if we want to take hold of what God has in mind for us, we've got to do what it takes to get us to get it, because nothing's automatic. Jesus said he came to give life and life more abundantly, didn't he? The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, I came to give life and life more abundantly. Well, we get life, eternal life, when we receive Jesus. We get life by faith. Isn't that so? Isn't that how you came to salvation? But how do we move into the abundant life? You're not going to get it through faith. That comes by obedience. And that's where the rubber hits the road, doesn't it? We'd rather just put out our faith. Lord, I'll just pray about this and the abundant life will come. Not if you're not walking in obedience, no, it won't. So we need to be aware of that. Then he goes on to say, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I'm not focusing on the past. I'm moving past the past and I'm pressing on to something that's ahead of me. Whatever's not part of your life anymore, toss it. Chuck it out of that cupboard. It's only going to trip you up. Don't keep hankering after the past. Don't keep looking back over your shoulder. You've got to keep pressing towards the future and what God has for you. He said, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We learn from the past. We hold on to the good memories. We toss the bad ones. We allow God to work through the bad ones, to work a work in our lives that's going to turn those bad ones into something that he can use us for in somebody else's life. He can turn every worst scenario around and use it for somebody else's good. Did you know that? That's just God. And you think he didn't know about the gungy stuff that we would do before we even came to this earth and thought of doing them? He knew that. And he still has an awesome plan for us. Because God already sees beyond that gungy stuff. And he doesn't want that stuff, the bad stuff, to keep tripping us up and holding us back from his wonderful plan for our lives. So that's how you get the cupboard sorted. You put the past in the past. If you've opened doors to your life that has allowed rubbish in, you've got to go back and shut those doors. They're not going to shut automatically. You've got to go and do something about it. You do that in prayer. You go and get somebody to help you that knows what they're doing. Somebody that's trusted. Somebody that's walked a road in the Lord. They can help you shut those doors. The Word of God says that when we come to Christ, all those who come to him are a brand new creation. Isn't that so? Have you noticed that not too much changed about the way you thought when you got born again? A lot changed, but not everything. And because not everything in your soul realm, your mind changed, not all your thoughts changed, a lot of the stuff that we do doesn't change either. That's why Paul says we've got to renew our minds so that our lives are transformed. Or start on the inside. And so, yes, everything, the old has passed, the new has come. It's all brand new in God. But walking in the new and appropriating it does not come automatically. You've got to go back and shut some doors that you've opened, because you know what? Sin has consequences. it's a bit like a baby. Once the baby's on the way, 9 months' time, it's going to be there. You can pray as hard as you like. It's coming. And so sin has consequences. There's a result to our wrongdoing. And so we shut the door with repentance. Just shut the door with repentance. And say, God, lead me from here on. Lead me in your way. And slowly, slowly, that whole picture changes and becomes something really beautiful. I want to talk a bit about avoiding potholes in our journey as we go along. Because there's things that you can do, and this is not just for those who don't have that special one in their lives yet. You know, the word. It'll work for all of us. We've been married 47 years, but what I'm telling you this afternoon will work for us now, the same as it would be if we weren't married and we can go back 47 years. So let's have a look at avoiding some potholes. And the first one is what I call checking out the menu. So I'm going to read this. I like scripture. I love the word. And I like to know that everything that I'm doing is built on a principle of God's word. Otherwise, why do it? James writes to the church and he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him who asks, ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You've got to be single-minded. You've got to know what you want out of life. Whether it's that special one that you're looking for, or whether it's a job that you're looking for, or whatever field in life that you're going after, you must know what you're going after. You know, somebody who wants to get to the top in golf doesn't keep switching sports. He stays with golf, and he practices golf every day. And he thinks about golf. That's what he wants. He wants the prize. He wants to be the top in the golf scene. Now imagine if one day it's golf, the next day it's tennis, and he thinks, oh, you know what? I wonder if I wasn't cut out to be a musician. He's an unstable man, unstable in all his ways. He's getting nothing. He's going nowhere. And a lot of people are like that. You've got to make a quality decision. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. You must know what you want out of life. And then you must go after it. So why checking out the menu? Well, have you ever been to a restaurant with someone who can't make up their mind? And, you know, like half an hour later, it's still like, well, let's eat already. Just choose something, anything. Let's order and eat. Well, perhaps you might be that one. I don't know. But you're checking out the menu and you're seeing, well, that looks, And with each thing you read, you're getting a picture in your mind. Don't you get a picture in your mind? I can't, is that what I really feel like? And eventually you order the food and it comes along and it's nice. But wasn't quite what you had in mind. That it doesn't kind of fit the picture. It doesn't quite match up. But it's nice. But then the guy at the next table gets his order. Oh, man, that's what I should have ordered. But you know, some people go through life that way. They keep thinking what somebody else has got is better than what they've got. Because they've got something in their mind that isn't real. And that's foolish. Because let me tell you, it came out of the same kitchen, and a lot of it was made with the same ingredients. Sometimes people are like that. Sometimes married couples are like that. They always think the other person's marriage must be better than theirs. That husband or wife, they're so sweet. Where did you see them? In the restaurant. They're going to be sweet in the restaurant. You haven't seen them at home. Where did you see them? At church. Oh, they're going to be nice at church. Because the pastor might be watching. When the real meal comes along sometime, it doesn't quite match up to the picture of the meal that you had in mind. Now, either you love someone and make room for the real, or back off. But don't hang around making a mess of their lives because they don't quite measure up to what you had in mind. Who said you were so hot? Really? People looking for the perfect one. Who said they're so perfect? Perhaps the perfect one won't like you because you're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's ever going to be perfect this side of heaven. You'll never find a perfect church. Because the church is people. There's no perfect people. But where God puts you and you've got a peace there, you say, Lord, this is where you want me to grow. The first person who gets up your nose like a hare, you say, thank you, Jesus. A growth point. Yes. I'm starting to grow already. You're allowing me to start growing already. This is so great. God hasn't forgotten me. How about this one? This is one that I call sensibly or soberly single. Also from the writings of Paul. And this is in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, for those listening on CD. Paul says, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. He says, let's be alert and self-controlled. Let's be realistic and not fantasize. Let's see people as they really are and not fantasize as how we'd like them to be. If only this, and if only they didn't do that, and if only they didn't. Why don't you just leave them in peace? They're most probably looking at you and saying, you know what? Only he or she didn't, and so I don't think I'm phoning again. But Paul says, walk carefully through life. Walk wisely through life. Have fun, but don't be foolish. You and I have a window of opportunity while we're down here on this earth. Let's not blow it. Let's go after God with everything that's within us. Say, God, I know that you want me to meet and marry the right one. You know where that right one is right now. And I'm going to trust you to bring that right one across my path when it's the right time. And he says he gives us the desires of our heart, doesn't he? If we delight ourselves in him. And so we delight ourselves in him. And then he doesn't give us, I desire this, I desire that, I desire that. It's not our list. But while we're delighting ourselves in him, he transfers the desires of his heart into our heart. Oh, we begin to desire what he wants for our lives. And he can bring it to pass. Amen. People often think that Christianity is a way out. No, it's not. It's a way through. It's a way through life. Not a way out of life. Let's have another pothole. Look at what we can avoid. And this is what I call the discontented duck. So we're going to have a look at what Paul says about this kind of oak. Here in Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12 and 13. Paul says, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, I know what it's like to have a little. I know what it's like to have plenty. We need to be able to say, if you're not married, I know what it's like not to have somebody special in my life. And you know what? I've learned to be content. I know what it's like to have somebody special in my life. And you know what? I've learned to be content. Because we're all in the process of becoming everything that God designed us to be. Not going to find anyone perfect on this earth. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can learn. It's something we learn. It's not something that just happens automatically. We learn to be content in God. And we can do that through the strength that he gives us. Because no matter what the challenge is, no matter what phase of our life we're going through right now, He gives us what we need, the grace we need to move through that thing, that phase, that season in contentment. So why discontented duck? Well, the discontented duck, the pond's too big, the pond's too small. My feathers are too light, my feathers are too dark. There's so many people always looking into the pond, staring at me, chucking bits of food at me. There's too few people looking into the pond. There's too many other ducks in the pond. That's why I can't find that special one. There's too few ducks in this pond. That's why I can't. Never satisfied. This is an awesome principle in God's Word, family, if you can get this right. To learn to be content, no matter where you are and what's happening in your life. Good, bad, and ugly. Learn to be content, because our contentment isn't in what's happening at that time, but in the one who can change things around suddenly. And even if he doesn't, he gives us the strength to walk through that thing, to grow through that thing. How about this one? The collar chafe. Prophet Amos says, chapter 3, verse 3, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? Back to the Apostle Paul. He says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 to 16, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Or what accord, what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will come out from among them. I will dwell with them. I will walk among them. I will be my God. They shall be my people. And so, people don't see this and don't see it, take it seriously enough before they find that special one. You've got to be aware of this. That special one has at least got to be the same kind as you as far as loving Jesus is concerned. Where do you go to work out stuff? Who do you ask to help you if you can't both turn to the same God? If you can't look into the same word, when you have a difference of opinion, who are you going to pray to? Because it's never about who's right. Doesn't matter what you're arguing about. It's never about who's right. Because each one of us think we're right, isn't that so? It's always about what's right. And what's right is this. So if either one of us are out of line with this, we're both wrong. And that's helped my husband and I many times. Because he thinks he's right. And I know I'm right. And then we find out what's right. We say, oh, okay, we'll both change our opinion. And so be aware of that. Don't be unequally yoked, not in business, not in marriage. And then the movie Magic. I love this one. We can learn so much from Paul, in Romans 15, verse 7. He says, therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. He says, accept one another. Not talking about bad behavior. It's never right, never all right to accept bad behavior. Bad behavior must be confronted nicely, pointed out for what it is, and it must be sorted out. But you know, all of us have got our little quirks and our little shortcomings and our whatever. We're all in the process of becoming everything God designed us to be. But process is what it's all about. We're in that process. And he says, while you're in that process, make room for each other's growth. Just receive one another as Christ accepted us. I don't know about you, but he accepted me just as I was. With all my whatever, before I even gave him the time of day. But the one day that I did, he said, oh, come and be part of my forever family. And accepted me totally, unconditionally, completely. And there was a lot to, well, there wasn't that much to change, was there, lovey? You see, he's being nice. Why? Because we're in church. He's smiling. But people have unrealistic expectations. Now, why I say movie magic is because real marriage is not a romantic movie. We see these romantic movies and everything is completed after the 25th take, especially the kiss or the whatever, or the fight. And after 25 takes, they say, it's a wrap. The 25 takes is what we actually really live through. While we're adapting, while we're learning, it's not a romantic movie. When you love someone, you respect him or her for the person they are, not the person you want them to be. You can only love someone fully if you respect him or her. Without respect, love is not even in question. Respect contributes to the person that you are and your abilities to love the other person. So if you don't respect the person before you marry, you won't respect them later. You've just got to realize that. That anything somebody is before they marry, they're going to be twice as much after they marry. Don't forget they're putting on their best performance for you before they marry. Before you marry. Isn't that so? Afterwards they can relax and really be themselves. You need to respect that one. That you find that you think, this is the special one for me. This is a beautiful picture that I found one day. Can you see it? It's a train. And you see it's a train. Who can't see it's a train? You need glasses. Would you like mine? Can you see it's a train? All right, now just tell me, why? Can you see there's a mountain on the one side and a ravine and a river on the other? Well, my question is, why is that train running right so close to that mountain and with a ravine and a river on the side? There's no wrong answer. Tell me, why do you think? It needs to go forward. Yes? Has anybody got another answer? There's no other choice. That's where the tracks are laid. You are so clever. That's why you're sitting in front. It's traveling where it is along those roads. That's where the tracks are laid. We've got to lay tracks for our lives. We've got to lay them on purpose. Because that's the direction that our lives are going to run in. Just two more scriptures to go. I love the Word of God. Paul again to the church of Galatia. He says, don't be deceived. The Greek word there is the word planeo. He says, don't be led astray. Don't wander from the track. Don't be deluded. He says, God cannot be outwitted. God cannot be mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. So your harvest and mine in life is dependent on the kind of seed we sow. Are we agreed? We will reap what we sow. It's natural to reap what you sow. You go out and you give somebody a good hard biff on the nose and see what you reap. You're going to reap exactly what you sowed. Well, I know not in this kind of, we would just say, I love you, brother. You think, but isn't that so? You will reap what you sow. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, and he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. Therefore, let us not grow weary while we're doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we do lose heart, we shall not reap. And so every morning when you and I wake up, we begin to sow seed. We begin planting with our thoughts, with our attitude, with our words, with our behavior, with our action. We're sowing seed. Either we're throwing into the field of the flesh and we're going to reap destruction, no doubt about it, because we're sowing to the field of our own understanding. and our own understanding is often just contrary to the Word of God, or we begin to sow with our thoughts, with our words, with our attitude, etc., to the field of the Spirit. And from that field, we will reap from eternal life. We will reap answers from God. We will reap strength from God. We will reap the peace that we need. We will reap the grace that we need for whatever the situation is. But the thing is, people give up. They get disheartened and discouraged. I haven't found the right one yet, and I'm 15 years old. People give up on the seed. Do you know what happens when you give up on the seed? You give up on God. Because God and His Word are one, aren't they? And so you keep focused on God. You don't give up on God, therefore you don't give up on the seed that you've planted. In 33 years of counseling marriages, I've seen people that have everything in common that are very happy. I've seen people that have nothing in common that are very happy. I've seen people with everything in common that are very unhappy. I've seen people with nothing in common that are very unhappy. I think it's always compatibility, It's not an issue of compatibility, of similarities or dissimilarities. It's a question of learning to relate to one another, adapting, making room for one another's growth in Christ, keeping your eyes on the big picture. Because all of us marry the other person's strengths, don't we? But then we go home and we live with the same person's weaknesses and vice versa. And it's the weaknesses that usually get us down. Isn't that so? So that, oh, that's, he's so strong and stable and secure. He makes me feel safe. After a few years, he is so dull. I thought you said he's strong, secure, and stable. Now he's dull as well. Oh, she's so effervescent. Oh, she's just so full of life, and she makes me laugh. And after a few years, oh, only she just shut up for 5 minutes. Aren't we like that? We like that, aren't we? That's the humanness of us. But as Christians, we have to keep the big picture in mind. Now, your pastor was saying that we've been married for 47 years. Well, on a Friday night, 47 years ago, at about 8 o'clock, I phoned my husband. Well, he wasn't my husband then. It was the day before he was going to be my husband. But I phoned him up, and he's, as you could tell, a man of a few words. And so I said, he said, is there something wrong? So I said, am I doing the right thing? Now imagine! And of course, he says, yes, of course you are. I said, are you sure? He said, yes, I'm sure. Now get some sleep. I'll see you in the morning. Oh, okay. But I was a Catholic, and he was a cricketer. And so we already had that in common. It was wonderful. And then I loved the theater, and I loved nighttime. I woke up as nighttime started coming on the scene. And he got more and more sort of sleepy because he was a farmer and he loved fishing. So he loved early to bed. I also loved early to bed, just the next morning. And there was a whole lot of other things that we didn't have in common. But, you see, and we didn't know the Lord. So, I mean, we really didn't have much help. It was him and I, or nothing, baby. But you see, God had a picture in mind for us. And we kept that big picture of us and family and what we wanted. We kept that in focus. And now 47 years later, oh man, he's my best thing. Well, I mean, it didn't take 47 years. He became my best thing. He's been increasingly my best thing. I love you, Tom. He's the most fantastic husband. He said, oh, go on, you're just biased. I am absolutely biased. But you know, God has a dream for you, and He has a dream for that person that you're looking for, who doesn't even realize they're looking for you as well. But I want to close with this family. Oh, that's a picture of my family. That's not what I want to close with. But you can have a look at them. There's 18 of us there. Anyway, this is what I want to close with. It's an imperative reminder. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, so that you may proclaim Him, the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You who were once not a people, but now are a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Christians are supposed to live above average lives. Who here had ambitious parents that really, they wanted to live their dream through you? Has anybody here ever known that? You know, they get that from God. God lived His desire, His passion, His dream through Jesus Christ. The Word says Jesus, the express image of God in this earth. He wants to live His dream, His passion, His cause through you and I. Now He wants us to be the express image of Jesus here on this earth. We're supposed to live above average. Anybody can live an average life, but when you've got the Spirit of God living in you, you're supposed to live above average lives. And I say, we're the risk takers. And you know what the risk is? I call myself a risk taker. Can you call yourself a risk taker? Do you know what the risk is? Let me spell it out to you. Doesn't sound so good now, does it? You risk being misunderstood, rejected, scorned, betrayed, hurt. It's called dying to self. But we're going to take the risk anyway. We're going to be what God wants us to be anyway. We're going to live the way God wants us to live anyway. At the cost of all of this. This is what Jesus, He said, if you want to share in My glory, you've got to share in My suffering. Well, He didn't suffer sin and sickness while He was here on earth. He took those things to the cross for us. But He did suffer. Being misunderstood, rejected, scorned, betrayed, hurt, and He died to His own will. Father, nevertheless, not My will, but Yours in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now my question to us tonight is, irrespective of whether you're a single or looking for that one, that special one, or if you're already married, are you prepared to start right now being a risk taker for God? Being someone who says, Lord, at the cost of all these things happening in my life, experiencing all of these, I want passion for Christ and His cause to be first and foremost in everything that I choose. Are we prepared for that? As we close, I want you to read on the screen with me, family. You can help yourself by laying a good track for your journey. And this is what you have to do. Number one, you have to enter His rest. You have to come to a place where you say, God is aware of me. He knows what age I am. He knows where I live. He knows my occupation. He knows what I need in my life. He knows I'm looking for that special one. I'm going to enter His rest. I'm not going to start getting all uptight and getting myself in a knot. Use the plumb line. You know what the plumb line is. Builders call it a spirit level or whatever they call it these days. But the plumb line is the Word of God. Use the Word of God to help you lay that track. Bring in the cavalry. The Word says in the counsel of many there's wisdom. Not in the counsel of any, of many. Somebody you can trust. Somebody who knows the Lord. Somebody who's older than you. Somebody who's walked away ahead of you. And then let peace be the umpire. If you don't have peace in your heart, if you're in doubt, don't. Where are you running to anyway? If it waits another few days or another few months, if you're still alive, you'll still be here. but make the right choice when you have the opportunity of choosing. And for goodness sake, don't cry over someone who's not crying over you. That's an utter waste of time. Here's five filters for you to use as you sift through your emotions, through what you might be feeling right now about an individual. Does what I'm hearing line up with God's character? Does what I'm hearing line up with the Word of God? Is it a rush job? I hate rush jobs, don't you? You can always see it's a rush job when they finish doing the job. Does it witness with Spirit-filled, trusted, Spirit-filled believers? Counsel of many, not any. Do I have inner peace? Focus on being the right one for that special one that God brings along. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, as we've opened our hearts to some practical principles laid down in your word tonight, may we take them to heart, no matter where we are in life or what we're busy doing, whether we're single, whether we're married, whatever our status is at this time. May we build these principles into our lives so we become well-balanced individuals, alert and self-controlled, using the window of opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to glorify you and to fulfill your purpose in our lives. And I thank you, Father, that you have for each single individual here this afternoon that very special one that you've designed specially for them and them specially for the other. And Father, we know that all this would be futile even if we found the special one here on earth, if we didn't find that special one who gave his life to us in a personal way. And friend, well, I don't know anybody here this afternoon, but you might have come in visiting this afternoon or just part of this congregation, and you've just been weighing up the pros and cons of, do I jump in and become a follower of Christ, or do I wait a while? Well, life's very uncertain. You might be here tomorrow and you might not. And so I always like to say, when you have the opportunity of making a choice and you know what the obvious choice is, for goodness sake, make it. And if that's you this afternoon and you're still wondering whether to throw yourself wholeheartedly, just jump into the arms of God, or whether you're just going to suss things out for a little while longer, I pray that God, by His Spirit, just envelops your heart with His love right now, and that His grace abounds towards you, that He just woos you into His forever family. You might have even made a one-time commitment, but perhaps that special one that you thought was the special one really hurt you, and you've wandered away from the Lord. Well, why don't you come home this afternoon? Why don't you just say, Lord, quality decision, first quality decision. I'm not going to be double-minded about this. I'm entering into your rest right now. If you're entering into His rest right now, whether it's for the first time or just because life has intruded and you've made that quality decision this afternoon, I'd really like to pray a simple prayer with you just right where you are. You just give me a little wave out there to indicate if anyone is in that situation this afternoon. And I'd like to pray with you just where you are. Is there anyone? All hot and on fire for you. Thank you. You can put your hand down again. The rest of the gang, all on fire for Jesus. Well, come on. We're going to pray for that individual that raised their hand right now. And if you need prayer after this, there is a prayer team just ready to pray for whatever your need is. So don't go out with a need unmet. Jesus is still in the business of meeting needs. His grace is sufficient. So after this prayer, however the meeting is closed, you just come up front and we'll pray for your need. Come, let's pray this prayer together. Father God, thank you with all my heart for your awesome love for me. I'm opening my heart right now to that love. And I want to tell you that I'm loving you back with all that's within me. I'm determined to enter your rest. I want your plan for my life. You know who that special one is for me. And I thank you that you're well able to bring that individual into my life at just the right time. Lord Jesus, I thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for taking my sin on that cross of Calvary. I receive new life. I receive the heart of the Father and the ministry of the Holy Spirit right now to lead and guide me and to fill me with renewed passion for Christ and His cause. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?
For listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. You're